And thank you again to everybody that's read, helping us open the meeting, and take this opportunity to welcome those that are joining us since we first started. Particular welcome to any visitors to our meeting this evening, and a massive welcome to any newcomers that might be with us tonight. We hope you hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. Like I said, we are a speaker meeting tonight. Unfortunately, our scheduled speaker doesn't seem to have put in an appearance. So at incredibly short notice, we have an individual that's going to share for us tonight his experience, strength and hope, his journey to and through Narcotics Anonymous. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Rod. So Rod, please share with us. Thank you.
I am an addict. My name is Rod.
Hello.
Hi, Rod.
Hi, Rod.
All right. Welcome to the meeting.
Rod in Kansas.
And thank you.
Hi, Rod. Hi, Rod.
Hi, Rod.
Wow. My higher power has such a sense of humor. Definitely am not a convention speaker. I'm not much of a speaker at all. The reality of the matter is that I don't like to speak. And so, of course, I logged on because I was going to listen to the meeting while I was working on some software for a guy. And I thought, well, I'll just listen to the meeting while I'm playing around with the software and kind of get on kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. And I was trying to get one of my sponsees to log on to this. I've talked about this particular meeting for a number of years. I've been in and out in this meeting, listening to the different speakers, listening to y'all share, doing a little bit of sharing after the meeting and before the meeting myself. Anyway, as Ellen would say, anyway, so let's get on. I started out using books to escape my reality. At a very young age, when I learned how to read, I learned that I could escape my reality and I could go somewhere different in my mind. Because like most of us, my mind is wired different. It's wired different than normal people's brain is wired. My brain is wired to excess. So I picked up reading, of course, at a very young age and devoured books. I devoured books so bad that I burned a mattress one time because I hit a microscope lamp under my blankets while I was reading. And then when I got up to use the restroom and came back to bed, I shoved it underneath the blankets and crawled in bed. And I was so exhausted, I just fell asleep on top of the light and caught my mattress on fire. I would get up at Christmas time and I would always get a book in my stocking as a child. And I would have the book read before my parents got up out of bed for Christmas morning. So, yes, excess is my middle name. Eventually I, moved on to, something that, would change my mind, that I didn't have to do so much work at because I'm a pretty much of a lazy guy. And so I started to use, and I found out that All my shyness went away. All my awkwardness went away. Well, maybe not so much the awkwardness, but anyway, that shit went away, and I could be somebody different, and I could be who you wanted me to be, or whoever I was with. Whatever they were is I could be there. And so I continued to use increasingly more and more and more. Like most of us, my drugs of choice were yours and more. So I could progress along that line, being as responsible as I could be while doing that. And my life just spiraled downhill. I still managed to keep a job. I lost relationships, those kinds of things, but I've always kept my job. And eventually, I got connected with a young lady, and she had what I wanted. And so we got connected and started doing the dance around each other, I guess, so to speak. Her husband really wasn't very happy about that. In fact, one evening, late in the fall, he come into the bar where her and I were and proceeded to wrestle around on the floor with me, fighting. And it was only because the little pistol in his boot skidded out of his boot and just happened to skid right into her lap, basically, is the only reason that he didn't shoot and kill me. That night, they drug his ass off to another state to a treatment facility and left him there, and it was like 8-10 hours away. And so that allowed her and I to continue on our merry way. The reason that he found out about us is because she got busted for possession and selling. And he come home from his truck driving job or limousine driving job or whatever it was that he was doing at the time, besides being in the bathroom shooting up dope, and basically found out from everybody that we had been messing around. So anyway, when it got time for her to go to court, she went to court, and the judge deemed that she was a danger to herself, to her children, and society, and sent her to prison. Meanwhile, I continued to use. We continued the relationship while she was away, she got what we called back here in the States a callback at that time to come stand in front of the judge again. And she showed up in court. Her lawyer had finagled her to be transported from where she was in jail back to Lyon County in Kansas, where we lived. And the prosecutors weren't very happy that she was there because they didn't expect her to be there. Of course, we were over thrilled that she was there. And the judge was like, well, you transported her, talking to the prosecutors. And so he released her to community corrections, which was the first form of what we now call drug court around here. So she got out of prison. While she was in prison, she had got a hold of me and kind of had, we had started some things that put into place so that she was able to walk into an apartment and walk into being enrolled in college, even though when she went to jail, she had not, or went to prison, she had not, did not hold a high school diploma. So anyway, she gets out and gets in this apartment and starts going to college. And she tells me that she is going to get her life together, and I didn't have to come along if I didn't want to, but she was going to get her children back and get her life together. And I said, well, okay, I'm willing to try that. And so she started going to 12-step group meetings. In Emporia, Kansas, at that time, they had two Narcotics Anonymous. So she ended up going to both fellowships for a period of time. Well, I decided that liquid drugs was not my problem. She didn't have a problem with me drinking liquid drugs, so I didn't have to give up alcohol in order to be with her, but I had to give up the illegal drugs that were against the law because it would send her back to prison. And I was not a problem with that because I didn't have a problem with alcohol. I used to wear a t-shirt that said, I don't have a problem with alcohol. I get drunk, I fall down, it's not a problem. So we continued on like this, and she would go to meetings and I would sit outside the 12-step groups and wait for her to get out. I would take her and I would drop her off and wait for her to get out. The Narcotics Anonymous meeting, the one of the meetings was a Sunday morning meeting. And I worked maintenance, so I worked every Sunday. So when I would get an occasional Sunday off, I would go with her to the Narcotics Anonymous meetings because I recognized that maybe there was a problem with me wanting to shoot dope all the time. Maybe. So I would go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings and I would sit on their couches, and when it would come around to me, I would say that I was an addict, and they'd all nod their heads at me, and we'd participate in the meeting. And 1 May, I know it was May. I was sitting in a meeting, Sunday morning meeting with them, and it came around my time to introduce myself. And the words came out of my mouth that I was an alcoholic. And they all looked at me. Instead of saying I was an addict, I said I was an alcoholic. They all looked at me and they said, maybe you ought to look at that. And I laughed and I said, no, I'm an addict. and we went on. Well, a month later, the little group here in Emporia had began to get bigger. They decided to have a camp out. So I went to this camp out, and I shot pool on Thursday night for a league that, you know, we played in bars, where I could find my drug at that time choice. And so Thursday night, I promptly went out and shot pool, got drunk, and Friday morning, or Friday afternoon, I'm not sure which, don't really remember. I went out and pitched this tent up where this pioneer group, Narcotics Anonymous in Emporia, Kansas, was having a camp out. And my wife's sponsor's boyfriend from another town was speaking that Friday night. And he talked about the way he was feeling when he decided to get clean, and how this was not a disease of substance, but it was a disease of feeling. And he talked about everything that was me. So that next morning, I woke up early, went to go find the community coffee, found him in there making the community coffee. And after it got done, I drug his ass back to my campfire. And we sat around and drank coffee, and I talked to him. And he told me, I never had to use dope again, even if I wanted to. That him and others in the meeting could show me a different way to live, where I didn't have to use drugs. To change my perception of my life. That the program in Narcotics Anonymous could show me how to change the perception of my life by not using any mood-changing, mind-altering chemicals. So, June 14th of 1991, I stood up at the Clean Time Countdown and told them that I didn't want to use anymore. And I got my first basic text. And because of the program in Narcotics Anonymous, I've not had to use any mood-changing, mind-altering chemicals since. I don't like to cry. I don't think anybody does, but anyway, so I decided to do this thing that we call recovery, and I started going to meetings, for real. I started not using before, during, after the meeting. I started announcing that I was an addict and I didn't want to use any mood-changing, mind-altering chemicals. And they said I should get a sponsor. And so I picked a sponsor. A friend of mine that was already in the program. I seen him at work. So and I seen him at meetings. So I didn't have to work at picking up a phone and calling him. Nevertheless, I didn't work any steps either. But I did get comfortable talking to another man. And you know how we do. When we get sick and tired of being sick and tired, I decided to change sponsors and promptly got a man that was coming to meetings that we called Satan Clayton. We called him that because he was very upfront and confrontational, I guess I should say, in telling us the truth. You know, even things that we didn't want to hear, like we shouldn't be playing with newcomers. We should learn how to sit in a meeting and not jump up and down. We should learn how to speak properly. And that meant using language that was appropriate in the meetings of Narcotics Anonymous. And I started working steps with him. And he started dragging my ass around the state because he was involved in service. And he introduced me to area meetings, introduced me to regional meetings. And I got started meeting people around the state. My significant other got out of community corrections. She no longer had to go to those community correction meetings. And another member of Narcotics Anonymous started going down there and telling his story. And at the time, we didn't think that was appropriate to be taking that down there. And so we promptly started a public information subcommittee meeting. And we took the public information handbook that World Services had provided for us. And there was a little script in there that said what to say. It was a mock meeting, taking public information into places like court services. And so me and another person started doing that. And we got two other people involved. And so the four of us started taking this script into court services and a drug and alcohol school that they held once a month. And we started reading this script to the people sitting, the potential addicts or the people that were in those meetings. And like I said, I got involved with service, and we went to another, I went to another town that was holding a workshop to introduce people to service and introduce people to do how to do things in Narcotics Anonymous. And they didn't have a, they had a time slot, but they didn't have anybody to do public information. And so I, being the knowledgeable member of Narcotics Anonymous, said, well, I can show you what we're doing in Emporia. Give me a couple minutes and get a couple people and we'll come back and we'll do a presentation to you. And so I got a hold of some people that were there, and we proceeded to read them this information out of the PI handbook, telling everybody who, what, and where Narcotics Anonymous was. And when I got done, I went to an old timer here in Kansas. And I said, what do you think? You know, very proud of myself. And he looked at me and he says, do you want me to tell you the truth? And I said, well, of course. And he said, well, if you walked into my office, he was a he worked for the treatment center, treatment facilities. If you walked into my office with that handheld script, I'd have kicked you out of the out of my office. And I went, oh. And I was devastated. Program of Narcotics Anonymous had taught me that when I got knocked down, that I was to stand back up and say, what can I do different? What do you suggest? And he says, go home and throw that script away and come back and give me a presentation that comes from your heart and not just from your lips. And so I came home to the other three addicts here in Emporia that were on the subcommittee meeting with me and said, we're going to throw the script away. We're going to do it by heart. And they looked at me and laughed and said, we can't do that. So we compromised, and we got a little index card, and we wrote where, how, why, life after, so on and so forth. We wrote the headings of those chapters that were in the PI handbook, and we'd set that in between us so that we could cue in on what we were supposed to be talking about. I have ADD really bad, so I can really see chickens everywhere, and can get off track pretty easy. So we started doing that, and it was pretty successful at that period of time. In fact, it was so successful that the region asked two of our members to record it back in the day, what we had was cassette tapes. So we recorded it on a cassette player and turned it over to the region on how to do a public information meeting. So things progressed. I continued to work steps with my sponsor. I continued to be a service to Narcotics Anonymous anywhere and everywhere that I could be. I learned that I didn't know everything and that it was okay for me not to know everything. And it was okay for me to make mistakes, and it was okay for me to fall flat on my face. And it was okay for me to make my amends for making those mistakes by not exhibiting the behaviors that made the mistake. I learned that saying I'm sorry doesn't mean anything unless you change the action that got you to the part where you had to say I was sorry. And we thought that, you know, when we were first getting clean, couple, 2 or 3 years old, we thought that the more meetings of Narcotics Anonymous we had in our hometown, the better off we were. So we promptly jumped up to about 13, 14 meetings of Narcotics Anonymous in Emporia, Kansas. Small little town, population, maybe 20,000, would jump between 20 and 30,000 when the local university was in session. And so we thought that that was the way to be, just to have meetings everywhere and everything. And what we learned later on, I want to say probably, you know, when I was about 5 years old, I thought I knew everything. And by the time I made 10 years old, I realized that I didn't know nothing. And I barely knew how to stay clean, let alone what other people should do or shouldn't do. And we watered down the Narcotics Anonymous meeting in Emporia, Kansas pretty hard. Spread out our old timers, our core members, so that we were only getting one or two, and sometimes none, in the meetings, particularly book study meetings. The longer I stayed clean, the less I decided that I needed to go to book study meetings, because I've read the basic texts. I've read several basic texts. I like all of them. Some I like a lot more than others, but I like all of them. We continued along and you know, meetings kind of got strong and weakened and got strong. But our little home group of Pioneer Group has managed to stay open during all the good and the bad. The sponsor that I my second sponsor, the sponsor that we called Satan, he moved away, and so I've, you know, gotten different sponsors through the years, worked steps through with most of them, some not very long, because I realized very quickly that what I thought they had that I wanted, I didn't want. You know, they told me when I got here to be careful about what you pray for. You just might get it. And if you get it, then you may have to pray to be to have it removed. And that has happened more than once. I still today try to be a service to Narcotics Anonymous. I started chairing when this pandemic hit. Well, actually, before the pandemic hit, the Wednesday 8 o'clock book study of Narcotics Anonymous lost its key holder, and I made the decision that I needed to step up more than I was in my home group. And since this young man decided to do some more research, that I would pick up his key and start chairing the Wednesday 8 o'clock book study meeting in Narcotics Anonymous in Emporia, Kansas. And one of my old sponsees had talked about going to meetings and studying the literature one line at a time. And so when I decided that I would take this key position for this book study, I introduced to the home group line by line studying of the basic texts. And I started with the steps instead of starting at the beginning. So we started reading one line at a time and sharing around the room on each sentence of the step work, how it works in the basic text, sixth edition. And the newcomers seemed to really like it. And the pandemic hit, and we closed our meeting hall and opened up virtually. So we started doing that same meeting format virtually on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And then as things progressed, we eventually got back to where we were holding face-to-face meetings and virtual meetings. And so now we have two Wednesday night book studies. Both are line by line. And we have quite a bit of following in that. And we even have some old timers who have came back to the literature studies that are enjoying the hell out of themselves studying the steps line by line. And some weeks we don't get through but one line. Some weeks we get two or three, and some weeks we only get one line. And that's great. It's really fun again to study the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. I love the literature of Narcotics Anonymous. I guess I don't have a whole lot more to say. You know, that's what Narcotics Anonymous speakers say when they think that they're done speaking, and then they usually go on for another half hour to an hour. But really, I don't have a whole lot more to say. When Steve texts me and asks if I would share, I'm like, fuck no. And then before I could get the words typed, of course, you know, I've been taught that when Narcotics Anonymous asks you to do something, then you're supposed to do that. And if there is no way around that, then it's okay to say, no, I can't, I have prior commitments, or no, I can't, you know, I've got something going on. Like I said, I came to this place to work on some software. The thing about it is that there's nobody else in the whole shop. It's not my real job. I wish it was my real job, but it's not. I don't have anybody staring over my shoulder saying that, you know, you need to get back to doing this and doing this. So when he asked, it was like, yes, I will. I'm glad I did. I appreciate meetings in Narcotics Anonymous, and I appreciate and am grateful for the message that has been given to me through the years, that no matter what I don't ever have to use again, and no matter what life throws at me, I'm going to be okay. As long as I put one foot in front of the other and do the next right thing. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I'll pass.